And now, stay tuned for Tim and the Gang on Maximum Rock and Roll.
That was Screaming Fist by the Violetones, probably ground zero for punk in Toronto. Don Pyle has this great book called Trouble in the Camera Club, where he describes the song as perfection in its goosebump-inducing heaviness. The bass playing 16ths on one note, then one big power chord, a furious drum roll, and then the whole band pounding a dirty chord. The record's dynamic production and intensity were never matched again.
You're listening to Rob and Steve of Equalize and Distort, and this is a remote radio broadcast for MRR on the history of Toronto's punk scene. Be sure to check out Jenna's look at the current scene recorded last month on the new MRR website at MaximumRockAndRoll.com.
We're going to start off the next set with The Ugly, who were considered by the Violetones to be their rivals. Self-described hoodlum rockers, they were tougher than the average punk rocker, with their lead singer Mike Nightmare being a bona fide criminal.
Here's the song Revenge from The Ugly.
Revenge! Began as always me. I see the light around just the other day. wasting my time in the halls of education. Learn to move fast on the streets of the nation. Realize, young man, fire can't burn. Put dreams on ice when my back was turned. Media dogs with your brain to hold. Burned out mummies mumble, do what you're told. Can't sleep at night, my head's full of warps. They dress me to kill, but I feel like a corpse. Dead on arrival, dead on arrival. Survival RG race. Dead on arrival, dead on arrival. Wasting my time in the halls of education. Learn to move fast on the streets of the nation. Realize young man, fire can burn. My dreams on ice. When my back was turned. Dead on arrival, dead on arrival. Survival energy race. Dead on arrival, dead on arrival.
started off that set with The Ugly and the song Revenge.
The Diodes are known for several firsts in the early Toronto punk scene. The first to be signed to a major label, the first to release a full-length LP, and the first to open a punk club, The Crash and Burn, which ran for a few months in the summer of 1977.
They were best known for their song Tired of Waking Up Tired. The song Dead on Arrival makes me think of Vancouver's DOA, who may or may not have gotten their name from the Diodes track.
DOA were originally called The Skulls, and lived in Toronto's Junction neighborhood briefly in 1978, before breaking up and reforming with a new name and a different lineup back in Vancouver.
The Batter Wives were up next, with the song Uganda Stomp. The band's members were all skilled musicians, and a little bit older than the kids in the scene at the time. Cleve Anderson was their drummer. He played in many bands like the High Fives, the Wayouts, Tyranna, and he went on to play in Blue Rodeo. He continues to play in several bands today, and he's an important part of the punk rock family tree.
The band also went on tour as the openers for Elvis Costello.
Despite their controversial name, they also had a sense of humor and tried to deliver a copy of the Uganda Stomp single to the ambassador of the Uganda Embassy in Ottawa.
And that went about as well as you might expect.
Women played a big role in Toronto's first wave. In this set, we're going to look at some of the bands in which women were the main focus.
First up is The Curse. They were the toughest of the bunch, likened to a female version of The Ugly, in terms of attitude and authenticity.
They put out a controversial single called Shoeshine Boy. Released in 1977, it was about the rape and murder of 12-year-old Emmanuel Jax, a Portuguese immigrant who made a living shining shoes and hustling on the city's notoriously sleazy Yonge Street strip.
The Curse was accused of exploiting the tragic murder of a child with their provocative record.
But they were actually trying to confront the issue of child prostitution. Here's Shoeshine Boy.
My mom just tells them to leave.
we're back on this historical look at Toronto's punk scene. We started out with Shoeshine Boy by The Curse. You should read Liz Worth's excellent book, Treat Me Like Dirt, for an interesting story about how they funded the record.
Toronto's other all-girl band was the B-Girls. Taking their cues equally from the Ramones and 60s girl groups like the Shangri-Las, the B-Girls were successful at home and abroad. They toured with The Clash and released records on Bump.
The Poles were next, and they were more from the art scene, but they did write the song about the most iconic building in Toronto, which is the CN Tower.
And Tyranna were part of the second wave that completely tried to sound like a punk band and in some ways could be considered the first wave of actual punks.
Let's move on to the 80s. When I was first learning about the hardcore scene in Toronto, everyone I spoke with said, start with the Young Lions. They had the swagger. They helped start Rock Against Racism. They had a place called The Garage where many of the first wave hardcore bands practiced. Here's a song called National Security off one of the first demos.
But no toy soldier, buy and sell the mercenary chickens on the open market, buy and sell some loyalty. Riot bird, play with fire around the world. Your control gates are destroyed. Rot it for Armageddon and on the front page. Counting on the shit to see. National security, what we're men and who's to be. National security, I want to all that to be. National security, that's the war of men we need. That's how that foot of time is talking and it's empty today. But it's just as hard as rock, I'm gonna die the American way.
Genial Nazis and Nazi hunts are being bound for your suffering. It's not a mask, but it's
And that was the Young Lions with National Security from one of their early demos. And a collection of the Young Lions demos was released by Schizophrenic Records a few years back.
Next up was one of my favorite bands from the era, Youth Youth Youth, with the song Domination. That song appeared on the Something to Believe In comp, which came out in 1985 on BYO Records. So much to say about this band.
And much of it revolves around the singer, Brian Taylor, who worked at a local record store called The Record Peddler. Although guitarist Rob Malian wrote all the band's songs, Taylor was well known for single-handedly recording almost all of the bands at the time and releasing them on the Toronto Hardcore 83 cassette compilation. He worked at Fringe Records, started the Diabolic Force label, and hosted a radio show called Aggressive Rock. He was an important figure in the scene.
Lastly was Direct Action, who were considered our version of Discharge, and viewed as the best hardcore band to come out of Toronto. The singer from Negative Gain, who we'll get to later, was a huge fan of them and was buried with the Direct Action t-shirt on. There's a book on the Toronto hardcore scene being written, which takes the title Tomorrow's Too Late from one of the Direct Action songs. We played Hate Generation because it seemed to describe the way punks were viewed.
The Bunch of Fucking Goofs are up next. Referred to as the Goofs or BFG, they started out as a joke band on Adair. They ran an after-hours out of their home in Kensington Market called Fort Goof. They also battled local Nazi skinheads and helped drive them out of Toronto. Based on their accolades, Tim Yohannan had a cover story done on the band. They started the next punk run venue called the DMZ and still operate a punk show space today. Here's the song Total Breakdown.
Yourself.
Think you're hardcore, eh?
hardcore, eh? Listen, if you're gonna bet, you're not gonna do that, right? Listen, if you're gonna bomb, that'll lead you to burn! So you think you're hardcore, eh?
So you think you're hardcore, eh?
Just about to make it seem, look just like a zombie scene. Spike, shut the neck, and I'm not the sprite. So you think you're hardcore, eh? Let's just check it, but it's bad, it's got the boots and never ends. Is this an uniform that a way you can form? So you think you're hardcore, eh? Spike, it's not a game, turn these over, cause the fame's not as well, just well, that's what I'm saying.
So that last set were other influential bands in the hardcore scene, starting off with BFG. A book was written about them called Dirty, Drunk, and Punk, written by a journalist, Jennifer Morton.
Then we heard the teenage skinhead band, Chronic Submission. These kids were great at start and stop thrash and were early adopters of crossover. Alternative Tentacles offered to put out their record, but they blew the advance money on glue, their drug of choice, and partying, so they're not really that well known outside of Toronto.
Up next was escape band Microedge. They did a zine called Bong Out and recorded some material that was released as a demo. The song Hardcore will be featured on the 7-inch that comes out with the Tomorrow's Too Late book.
Hype were up next, from the suburban wasteland of Oakville, where I spent my teenage years. It's All Hype was the response to the phrase punk's dead, which was a common catcall from the metalheads of the time. The bassist's older brother, Reuben Kincaid, was a key promoter in town. and you'd often see the TOHC logo on their flyers.
Negative Game were next, and they too were from Oakville. They had a full length on Pusmore Records, making them the first local hardcore band to be released on a US label. They were the fastest and fiercest band of the era.
Up next was the best known local crossover band, Sudden Impact, with their namesake song. And moving into the 90s, we have Hockey Teeth with Not So Long Ago.
Just wanna see you hide. Thank you.
You just heard Not So Long Ago by Hockey Teeth. That song talks about Toronto's recent racist past with Nazis like Ernst Zundel and our country's treatment of First Nations.
Maryland's Vitamins also had a song about Zundel, but they came out of a later generation of hardcore kids. They had a single called Squeegee Girl, which was about a city bylaw that targeted punk panhandlers.
And Teen Crud Combo finished the set with Days of Yore. Inspired by the New Bomb Turks, band members went on to play in Brutal Nights and later Hassler.
Now on to one of the most prolific and popular bands to come out of Toronto, Fucked Up. Who's Emma was an anarchist space in Kensington Market in the late 90s. Some of the band members volunteered there, and when the store went under, Fucked Up grew out of the lack of things to do. Here's a song that was released as a 12-inch called Generations. It's an anthem. يا خيمتي نار البعد والله ما تكوينا حملناه من جد الولد فلسطين ناجينا جايين والعز انولد يا قدس ناجينا حنا الشعب المديني جايينك يا فلسطين حنا الشعب المديني
Yeah.
Fucked Up started that set with the song Generations.
That was followed up by Career Suicide, who feature some past co-hosts of Equalize and Distort. The SARS epidemic hit Toronto hard in the early 2000s, and in true punk fashion, Career Suicide immortalized it on their 2003 single. We played the song Quarantined.
After that was School Jerks with the song Slums of the Future.
Toronto has a history of building high-rise neighborhoods, which after a few years become run down. And that's where the inspiration for that song comes from. Thanks for tuning in to this remote radio broadcast on Toronto. This show was produced by Sam Robinson at Maximum Rock and Roll. If you'd like to showcase your own scene, town, city, or country's punk, hardcore, and DIY music and history, please email sam@maximumrockandroll.com. Don't worry if you haven't made a radio show before. Help is at hand.
We're going to leave you with a song by Shit, who made a huge impact on Toronto's scene. They developed a style using layers of noise in their hardcore sound that had an influence internationally.
They ran a space for a while called Sheebie-Jeebies that inspired a photo book by Alex Kress called Feeding Time. The singer runs a record store slash venue slash meeting place called Faith Void. Here's the song that Alex's book takes its name from.
We really enjoy being able to bring you the best DIY punk rock
around the world every week for free.
If you liked what you heard, why not donate to ensure we can keep the music coming to you?
Donating is easy and tax deductible. Go to our website,
MaximumRockandRoll.com,
and click on the donate button.
Yes! God, I'm so stoked!
For more information about this radio show, check out our website,
radio.MaximumRockandRoll.com.
Email us requests or comments, radio@MaximumRockandRoll.com.
If you'd like to be considered for review in the magazine or play on this radio show,
send two copies of vinyl
or one copy of CD-only release and your cassettes
to MRR P.O. Box 460760, San Francisco, California
94146
in the U.S. of A.
Maximum Rock and Roll Radio is edited by Kalu, and we have a clean version of the show available thanks to John Carnes.